to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
And you're absolutely right about the tomatoes. Next to a very good woman, tomatoes come in a close second.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
A plantaholic is an obsessive gardener who is inexcessibly knowledgeable and passionate about gardens, their design, creation, and purpose in daily life. This definition characterizes Bobby Schwartz. She is the proprietress of Bobby's Green Thumb, which is a year-round Cleveland landscape and garden design business that focuses on landscape consultation, design installation and maintenance, garden coaching, lecturing, and writing. Welcome to the program, Bobby.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us on the program. Now, I want to ask you, you do a lot of perennial gardening. What is what is perennial, a perennial garden, and if someone is new to perennial gardening, what is something that they need to consider before they just go to the garden center and buy a bunch of plants? Because everybody goes there and it's pretty and grab plant. I know where I think I know what I want to do with this. What's some advice you would offer them?
Okay, what I would say is before you go shopping, be aware of the site where you want to plant. How much light? How much sunlight is there? What is the moisture level in the soil? What is the drainage like? What is the height of the plant or plants that you want to buy? And how much maintenance will they need? You need to take all of those factors into consideration before you decide what to buy. You also want to think about the colors that you like, what colors will go together, what colors will complement your house. Think about the colors that you use inside your house. Think about the colors that you wear, because these are obviously the colors that you like. And if you can tie what you do outside to what you have inside, then there's a real unity of feeling when you come, when you approach the house, or vice versa, when you look out the window.
That's a really good point. Now, annual gardeners, annual flower gardeners are used to having instant gratification in terms of flowers looking pretty. You know, we plant those flowers, we go to the garden center, they're in bloom. We plant those flowers, we take care of them, and they look nice until the frost or whatever. What are some things that people who may want to grow perennials, is there a timeline as to things will, when things will fill in and look nice? When can they expect their color gratification or their beautiful beauty looking nice plants?
Okay, so if you're planning to buy perennials, you need to have patience. Sometimes they will be in flower when you purchase them, not always. But generally speaking, it takes at least 2 to 3 years for a perennial to mature. In other words, for it to grow to its full height, for the root system to reach out and fulfill its potential diameter, basically. So frequently when you put in perennials, perennial garden, it looks somewhat bare. And you're thinking, this isn't what I envisioned. But what you have to do is plant far enough apart to allow room for the plant to grow and mature. If you can't stand the bare spaces while you're waiting for that to happen, you can plant some annuals in between so that it looks fuller, it's more satisfying in the meantime. But you do want to plant far enough apart so that you're not making future maintenance for yourself.
What are some common perennial maintenance care that we need to follow? I know that some people will deadhead, some people will divide plants. What are some things that we need to be aware of or some care tips that would be kind of universal?
Sure. I would say the most common maintenance chore for perennials is deadheading, and that's to encourage rebloom. Now, Coreopsis is a really good example because there are two types of Coreopsis. There is threadleaf Coreopsis, which is Coreopsis verticillata. And it has very tiny leaves, very thin, and it will spread relatively rapidly. And you can shear back the blossoms after they have finished blooming, and then you will get another flush of bloom. In a normal growing season, you can get three flushes of bloom. One in June, one in mid-July, another in September. With Coreopsis grandiflora, the leaves are bigger, and this Coreopsis is a clumper rather than a runner. And if you try to shear this Coreopsis after it blooms, what you end up with are stems that just look unsightly. And so you really have to prune each stem as you deadhead it. So it's much more time-consuming if you grow the clumping Coreopsis rather than the spreading Coreopsis. Another is staking, which is a real pain in the butt. And usually you end up looking at the stakes, which are not beautiful. Peonies would be a good example, but there is a wonderful product on the market that you can purchase called a grow-through. And basically, it is a metal ring with a grid in the middle of it. The heads, which is what these grids are called, come in different sizes. And you can also buy different height legs, which attach. For a peony, I would normally buy a 24-inch ring with probably 2 to 2.5 feet tall legs, because you are going to push them into the ground. And the thing to do is to install these grow-throughs just as the peony is starting to emerge from the soil. And you push it way down close to the soil. And then as the peony shoots come up through the grid, gradually as the stems get higher, you start pulling the grow-through up. And the leaves will totally hide it. You won't even see them, but they hold the peonies. The heads get very heavy when they're wet, so it holds them up so they're not touching the ground or falling over and taking up too much space. And then in the fall, when you cut them back, don't take the grow-through out of the ground, because what usually happens is you don't remember until it's too late to put it back in. So just push it all the way down to the ground for the winter, and then the cycle will start over again in the spring. There are other perennials which you can use linking stakes if they tend to fall over. Things like, say, delphinium or aconitum or veronicastrum, if they're basically perennials that are somewhat tall with somewhat weak stems, those you can stake individually. But you have to think about how much time do you want to spend doing this. With ornamental grasses, they're very low maintenance. You basically just cut them to the ground in the spring and you're done. The exception are two of the blue grasses, the blue fescues and Halictotrichon. The common name is escaping me. These two grasses you never cut to the ground. You just put on gloves and long sleeves, and you run your fingers through the foliage, and it will bring out the dead leaves. But that's the basic maintenance for perennials.
Okay. So you have a three-step plan for designing a lovely landscape. What is that three-step plan?
Number one, you need to set your goals, your priorities, and your budget. Then you need to evaluate what you have. What is there that you love and you want to keep? What is there that you feel may be in the wrong place? Can you transplant it? What is there that may have gotten too large for the space? Is it possible to prune it? Or does it need to be transplanted? Or is it in such bad shape that it needs to be discarded? Now, that's for plants. For hardscape, which is basically anything that's not living, if so, a sidewalk, a driveway, a patio, steps, first you want to look at safety, then you want to look at beauty, And then you want to look at adequacy. For instance, a lot of sidewalks are so narrow that two people cannot walk side by side. And I would advise widening sidewalks so that they're more comfortable. Look at the material. A lot of times they're straight, and if you're going to change them, you might think about redesigning the line. It could be curvilinear, which will slow people down so that they can see what's on either side. It also slows people down, and that makes it more safe because they're walking more slowly rather than hurrying, for instance, to the front door. And then you need to decide on what level of maintenance, both hardscape and garden, are you comfortable with? How much time do you have to devote to this? How much time do you want to have? With a lot of plants, you can choose ones that have lower levels of maintenance. So there's a lot of reading involved, or you may decide to call in a professional landscape designer to help you with that, with those decisions.
And I think that's the key here, Bobby, is maintenance and knowledge of what you're wanting to do and the time that it takes. And then that kind of determines, is this something you really want to get into?
Absolutely. I mean, I have been gardening for nearly 50 years, and I've been designing for 43. So in all that time, I've done a lot of trialing of plants in my garden, a lot of experimenting, because one of the things that people don't realize is that plants do not read the books. And so sometimes they will grow taller, wider. They need more light than the book says. A lot of plant labels say that a plant can grow in full sun or partial shade. The problem with the partial shade on those kinds of labels is that frequently the plant will lean toward the sun so that it's not as upright as it's supposed to be. Sometimes it can be more of a problem than you have any idea. For instance, I once bought a little creeping veronica to put between pavers on a path through my garden. And I thought it would just stay right there. Well, I was totally wrong. It started creeping everywhere. And the roots were thick, so it was starting to crowd out plants that I wanted to keep. So it's been a battle to not only dig it up, but to keep after it, because it keeps coming back. Every year I think I've got it, finally. And then next year, there it is again. So a lot of reading. And, you know, even the most experienced people do make mistakes.
That's very true. Where can we find more about your books and your lectures and how to get a hold of you?
Well, my website would be the very best place, www.clevelandlandscapegarden.com. And my website has several different pages. One is about me, one about my business, one about the design process, one about my book, Garden Renovation, Transform Your Yard into the Garden of Your Dreams. And it is available at independent bookstores and from Amazon. And then there's another page about lectures and workshops that I give. In the past year and a half since the book came out, I've been traveling all over the country and to Canada to talk about the book and give several lectures. And it's been a load of fun. I have met so many wonderful people. And what makes me feel even better is that a lot of them already have my book, and they tell me what a difference it has made. Because there are so many people who know that they want to make changes in their landscape, but they just don't know where to start. And the book takes you through the process. There are about 275 photographs in the book to illustrate everything that I'm talking about. And I've taken them over the past 40 years in virtually every state in the United States, all over Europe, in Canada, even a few in Mexico. But the whole point is for people to understand what I'm talking about and see a photo that says, this is what she means. Because I think photos are much easier for people to understand than text.
Very, very true. Well, Bobby, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us in the program and sharing a lot of your knowledge with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.